This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Chris Whitman, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Chris, and Tim.
And welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. I am Tyler. Yes, you are hearing me. Tim is having a little computer trouble, so he will jump right on. When he gets on, he will take over. And right now we have one of our head writers, Clint Folliwell, and he just came out with an article for our pre-combine DHH rookie mock draft. We're going to go through rounds 1 through 4 and kind of talk about where players are picked and all that stuff. But first, I want to let Clint, introduce himself and let everybody know what he is about.
What's up? My name is Clint, like you said. I just got into this Dynasty football stuff like this year and started last offseason listening to a few podcasts and then got sucked into it. So now I'm here writing for these guys and enjoying it. And so that's about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Dynasty. Once it gets you, it could be a little tiny hair, and it's going to take all of you. I mean, it takes you in. I started with one league. Then before I know it, I'm in nine plus. It's bad. It's a big-time addiction. But anywho, we are going to let you know about our sponsors, and our first sponsor we're going to let you know about is the Sit or Start app. It is the premium app for any Sit or Start questions. You guys come to us for Sit or Start questions, but honestly, we're not really about that. We'll answer it, but I mean, who likes to answer Sit or Start questions? But there is an app that will actually do that for you without the hassle of getting a hold of us, and that is the Sit or Start app. It is fantastic. I think everybody should have this app and check it out during the season because it helped me a lot this year, and I do believe it will help you. Next, our other sponsor is MyFantasyLeague.com. Of course, everybody knows what this is, but just to remind you, it is the best site for any dynasty leagues you're in. MFL 10s are popping up, and of course, that is almost everybody's favorite. I will be honest with you, I have not jumped into one because I feel like I'm too into the regular dynasty, and I don't want to start another thing, so I stay away from those, but I'll probably jump into them in the coming years. But I do want to sit here. We have the site up, and I just want to take a quick moment and let everybody know about our wonderful writers and just say their name. I'm going to start off with, we have Kelly Appleby. He is a ranker for us. We have John Bosch, who's on the Fantasy and Insanity podcast. Everybody knows who he is. Clint mentioned him earlier. We have Clint, of course, who kind of leads the writers. He does all the Google Docs. He is the mastermind for the writers. We have Jacob. God, I hope I don't butcher this last name. Sorry, Jacob. Jacob Bettner. And he's very interesting. I think he's got a fantastic future in this industry. He's got what is called the running back code. And man, he knows his running backs. If you don't follow him, check him out. We have the Dynasty Nut, Jordan Nutter. And yes, I know how to spell Jordan. And he, of course, is over at the Jet Set Dynasty. We have Michael Kimball, who's putting out articles, great stuff. We have Donnie Hamilton, the fantasy football degenerates. He's great. We actually have Tim Torch from UTH coming on, doing a little things here and there. That's great. He's back with his original home. We sent him out a little bit. He got used to the real world, and he came back. He really missed home. So we have him. We have Brian Stein. He's also with Jet Set, and we have Mark Hill. But we do want to mention we had an incident with one of our writers, and his name's Jonathan Alport. We just want to wish him and his family, our thoughts and prayers are with him. He passed away this weekend. It's a very sad story. You can go read it. All of us have retweeted his story. Yeah, I mean, he just joined us. He was so pumped to be a part of Dynasty Happy Hour. I mean, right when we had him join the team, he instantly put it in his Twitter info. I mean, this guy was so excited to be with the group, and it was felt. I mean, he just joined us probably a week and a half ago, and all of our writers, it's a good group, and you can just feel everybody was kind of hit by this, even though we haven't known each other for the longest time. And that's always a good sign when you start a group of writers. And yeah, I mean, Clint, do you have anything to say about this?
Yeah, I mean, like, even Jacob was saying earlier, right when this all happened, that it just feels like this group is becoming more like a family. And that's true. I mean, it's kind of crazy when something like this happens. It puts things in perspective. You know, here we are playing a game, a fantasy game, a game about a game.
Yep.
And yet when something like this happens, we're all kind of broken up about it and just kind of reaching out to each other, making sure everybody's okay. And it's one of those things. It's fantasy football, but at the same time, the relationships you make, man, that's what makes this thing so fun for me. And that's really what got me back into Dynasty League football.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like we said, Shane Morris at I Am Shane Morris wrote a wonderful piece about him. I suggest everybody go check that out. It, you know, just kind of get to know somebody that I feel had a lot to give us in fantasy and probably with people he knew. And Shane explains that in full in his article. So check that out.
Man, it really makes you think too, just if you know anybody or if you're struggling with drug addiction, man, get help or help somebody. Like it's a real thing, and it's something that, man, just don't look back and wish you could have done more.
Yep. I completely agree 100% with that. But we will get right into our mock draft we started with the Dynasty Happy Hour group.
Yeah, let's do it.
And yeah, it's an article you can check out on the website, www.dynastyhappyhour.com, and just go to articles. It's pre-combine DHH rookie mock drafts rounds 1 and 2. He's also got a third round article. We split it up into 3 articles, but we'll start off with round 1. And with round 1, the 101 is me. I chose 101. I was shocked nobody chose 101. I just thought, okay, it's probably the easiest pick at the moment, so I'll take it. I kind of want a 103, but Jordan took that one. So at 101, I took Dalvin Cook. Honestly, the only way this can separate is if he falls on his face at the combine and lands in just the worst spot. But I feel like this is, like I said in my my little quote, he's in semi-dry concrete. I mean, it's not quite set yet. So there's a couple things that can happen to change. I mean, Fournette could just run a 4.4 and have an under 7.3 cone and get drafted by a team where you're just like, wow, like the Raiders trade up and get him in the top 5. Yep. Like that, of course, would just put him in, you know, the first overall spot. But yeah, he's my first 101. And then we have Romeo. He went Leonard Fournette, and he pretty much said it's a consolation prize at 102. He's an elite runner who will be an impact player year one. And I can't agree more. I mean, he's going to get you touchdowns. He's going to get you yards. Is he going to get catches? Nobody knows. Are you with that on the 102?
Yeah, I mean, right now, 101, 102, it's Dalvin Cook, Fournette, almost anywhere you go, unless you go wide receiver. But right now, until those wide receivers go to the combine and either kill it or don't, it feels like their landing spot is way more dependent as far as their value. It feels like Cook and Fournette just can't miss almost.
Yeah, it's pretty much flip a coin. Yeah, you can't go wrong. Both of them are really different, so it all depends on your style. And honestly, I think if it's a standard league, I feel like Fournette has to be the 101. He's just that standard mold of a running back.
He's built like the traditional running back. That's the kind that the NFL executives go for, because he's that power back that's going to slow down the game, eat up the clock, and do all that you need.
Yeah. And at 103, this shook it up. And
surprise!
Yeah. Jordan, of course, takes Joe Mixon. It is his number one running back, and I love it. He's standing true to what he feels is the number one running back, and a lot of people kind of go with the waves, they go with the flow, So yeah, I love that Joe Mixon is his 103. I mean,
loved him so much that after the pick, he changed his Twitter name to what, Joe Mixon RB number one.
Yep. And it confused me. I literally thought somebody else joined the chat and he changed it. I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. But yeah, Joe Mixon, he's, you know, of course, best running back in the draft. At 104, it's Mike Williams by Michael. And he said, you know, he loves both receivers, but Williams gets the edge. He comes from a Clemson program that has done a great job putting together NFL caliber talent. Of course, that is true. It's, you know, another pick your poison in the top two wide receivers with the top two running backs. And at 105, Chris had a lock at 105 and he had it set and then realized Corey Davis dropped. And his quote was, how the hell did he drop to me? This was an auto pick. I had Samaje Perine lined up and Corey Davis falls in my lap. Wowza, he's my number one receiver in this class. He does everything well at a professional level already. He's not gimmicky in any way and plays at a higher level than his competition. Love this scenario. Of course, he played a higher level than his competition because he was a far superior athlete than anybody with a competition. Who do you have for your wide receivers? You know, what positions? Do you have Williams first or do you have Davis?
Gosh, I mean, right now, I think I still like Davis. I just feel like he took over games more than Mike Williams did. But Mike Williams feels like a safer prospect to me. And so that's kind of where the landing spot makes a difference. If one of these guys goes to a place with an elite quarterback and the other one doesn't, then he gets the nudge. But Mike Williams seems like he has that safer floor just because it seems like he can do just about anything. But I mean, right now, if I look at talent and kind of what I project combine numbers, I like Corey Davis a lot.
Yeah, I have Corey Davis ahead of Williams, and the scenario could really switch him. If Williams goes to Mariota, that would be awesome. I think that would fit really well. And, you know, if Davis goes to Wentz, I would love that.
Yep.
So it's going to be hard. It's going to be fun to see what Williams does this coming week. At 106, we have Christian McCaffrey. This, I thought, was kind of a lock. I mean, it's pretty much like, okay, I'll take what's left, but what's left is still, like at McDonald's, when you eat all the fries and you know there's fries at the bottom of the bag, that's what McCaffrey is. He's the fries at the bottom of the bag. And it's still an amazing thing to get.
Yeah. I know I can't put him ahead of Cooks or Cook and Fournette, but I want to.
That's bold.
I love what he did as a junior. And then even as a senior, his total numbers weren't there, but his efficiency was still there. So it's not like the perception is that he got worse because his numbers dipped, but his efficiency was still rock solid. So, it's so hard because it feels like he's a gimmicky player, but he runs between the tackles well. Like his outside runs, it's not like he did all of his runs on the outside. So, it's a lot of it depends on landing spot again with him. I think the four running backs, you know, Mixon, Fournette, Cook, and McCaffrey all are just like clustered for me. It's so hard to separate.
I like that call. And when I watched a lot of McCaffrey, I saw a lot of Dalvin Cook in his game as well. The patience where you kind of saw him in the backfield. And then when he got by the line, you didn't see him too much. You're like, okay, where'd he go? And then you just see him shoot out of that hole instantly. I mean, their burst is probably, Cook probably has more burst, but McCaffrey's vision is probably spot on with Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of his tape. People are wondering what his 40 is going to be. I think he's faster than what people think. So I completely agree with you. He will probably end up being my third running back with Mixon falling the four. But no, I love his game. He's safe, and I love safe players in rookie drafts. I mean, I've gotten fooled by tons of players. I mean, David Wilson in the past, Ronnie Hillman I got fooled by. Yeah, I've got a long list of people I've been fooled by. So yeah. I love safe in the first.
Yep.
Now I'm going to let you explain 107 because that is where you picked.
Yeah, I went opposite of safe here. At this point, I was looking at pure upside, and I don't know. I made the pick. I like the pick. I still kind of go back and forth now. I look back at it and go, maybe I would have taken some of these other guys that came later. But I took John Ross from Washington, wide receiver, just because I fall in love with these small speedster wide receivers. I mean, I think it's possible that he runs in the 4.2s. And the thing about him that I really, really like is that he's not one of those small guys that just disappears when there's press coverage. He seems to at least be successful against it. And so I don't feel like he's just purely a one-dimensional guy. And he's got that speed that just, man, I watch it and just I love fast receivers. And so that's why I took him and figured upside-wise, I feel like he's got the most upside, especially depending on where he goes.
Yeah, and I love fast receivers too. Of course, Will Fuller. I'm gonna say I don't think he'll run as fast as Fuller did. I thought Fuller was a special type of player. Fuller has a special gear to him, but I think John Ross has better route running ability. But it's close. So if Ross's injury isn't as bad as people think, I know he has to have surgery. But if he runs a 4.3, I mean, he could sneak into the late first, and it will probably have him go, you know, 107 to 112 for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I hope he slips because I would love to get him later, but I just took him there.
Yeah. Now at 108, we have Samaje Perine, who is a player I'm starting to like a lot more. Chris loves him and always has. I liked him, but God, he is so fun to watch. I know a lot of, he's one of those players that is either you love him or hate him. I mean, you're not going to be in between like, oh, he's okay. You've got to like him or you're going to just not like what he's about. And he went 108 to Jacob. Jacob knows his running back, so I will trust his opinion. And Perine was an easy selection here. I was tempted by Juju, but ultimately decided on a running back that has all the traits to become a workhorse in the NFL. I expect Perine to be close to the top of the running backs and bench press at the combine. With the size and strength he possesses, he doesn't have to win it all with speed to find success at the next level. And Jacob actually last night in our chat said he might break the size speed ratio, you know, the score. I forgot what it
the size speed adjusted athletic score.
Whatever. Yes, yeah. There it is. Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's a chance he could break that. I mean, Henry was pretty close. Henry was special. Perine could be right up there with him at 109. Go ahead.
Well, Perine has been one of those guys that I haven't watched a lot of, but is it bad that I kind of base my opinion on players sometimes outside of fantasy football? I watched his video of his engagement, and dude, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's pretty legit how he asks his girlfriend to marry him, and so that just makes me want to root for him. Seems like a good guy. And so, anyway.
Yeah, and you're talking about videos, and there was one where he was bench pressing, I want to say like 235, no problem, just at ease. He did 25 reps and got up just perfectly fine, not even breathing heavily. And then there's pictures of him showing, you know, after the college season was done and now, and that dude is just ripped. I think you sent that to Chris. Yeah. He's definitely working his butt off for this week in the combine, and I think he's going to do something special there. Now at 109, we have Juju Smith-Schuster to Tim. He is a young guy, and I think that is what I'm basing my draft stock on him, is just how he's 20 years old, and I feel like he's got room to grow. I am scared by the USC receiver. I'm very superstitious. What do you think about Juju?
For me, it's production. I mean, he has produced, and I think his athleticism is going to be not elite in any one area, but really good all over. And what Tim says when he took him was with over 2,300 yards and 20 touchdowns, he'll gladly take the guy that has us all asking Nelson Aguilar who? And that's, you know, that is something that you kind of hope for, right? That there is a receiver that finally comes out of USC that breaks that mold of the highly productive, high draft pick bust. And so hopefully, I mean, his age being so young, if he can land with a halfway competent quarterback, I think he's got a lot of opportunity to grow. And he just does just about everything really, really well. So, I mean, I like him. He's a solid receiver. I think his draft stock is continuing to go down because of that USC stuff. And that makes him just a value pick.
Yeah, he could end up being a good value. Now, at 110 is a player I love, and it's O.J. Howard, tight end from Alabama. He is my number 7 overall rookie, and I don't care about rookies not producing year one. I believe this guy is special, and like he said, normally I wouldn't take a tight end this early. It's Kelly. He's a guy that joined us, and just his potential is crazy, and I'm going to keep it short. Well, because we got, you know, tons of rounds to go through, so I'll try to speed things up. So, yeah, O.J. Howard was 110. I love that pick. At 111, where do you have Howard in rookie drafts? Where would you take him?
Man, like, as I look at it, it just depends on my team and the league scoring. If it's a PPR premium or a tight end premium, then I would definitely consider taking him as high as 108, 109. But it really depends on team need and where he falls. But, yeah, late first. In any 12 team, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep. At 111, we have Alvin Kamara, who is a very tantalizing prospect. And this guy says, Mark picked this one, despite his slightly smaller size. That is going to be interesting to see what he weighs in at in the combine. If he's over 215, I think he's going to rise up and possibly be a first round NFL draft pick. Alvin Kamara is one of those other players, you know, where you love or hate him. Are you on board?
I mean, I have not looked into Kamara a lot at all. Just kind of been trusting what other people have said. And so I think it is going to depend on what size he comes in. I don't remember what he weighed in at the Senior Bowl, but I thought it was pretty small. So we just have to see, like, what's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, Alvin Kamara was not at the Senior Bowl.
That's right.
Yep. He is a junior. He is still pretty young. He, you know, he traveled places, you know, was started off with Alabama, then went to Tennessee. So yeah, it'll be interesting. This week is going to have a lot to do with these upcoming players, like 112, Dont'a Foreman, who was taken by John Bosch, and pretty much size. And he said the landing spot will likely determine the actual order of rookie draft. And he thinks, you know, Foreman has goal line potential that may offset that gap. I think Foreman needs to weigh in lighter. He's at about 250. I like to see him at 237, 235, because I do think he's got good agility through the hole. He reminds me a lot of Alex Collins from last year, a heavier Alex Collins, a big guy that powers the game, but he's got a little shiftiness through the hole. Like, a guy that size shouldn't be able to do that. And Alex Collins had that last year, where you watch his Arkansas tape and somebody be coming through that hole and you'd see him do a little sidestep, move over and get through the hole. I see Dont'a Foreman there. And do you have Dont'a Foreman in your first?
Yeah, I mean, just because of the size and the speed, he definitely has some speed. And some people were talking about him just like P. Ryan having similar Derrick Henry measurables in terms of size adjusted speed scores. And if that's the case, I mean, I feel like you got to take a chance on him. For me, I'm real hesitant. He just doesn't pop off the page to me. I feel like he does have some one cut, but he likes to run right into defenders. And I don't know, that just bothers me. I feel like he could get so much more than what he actually gets, but he just runs right into those defenders. And when he could avoid them and get 3, 4, or 5 more yards.
Yep. Now, we're going to go into round 2, and for this, we will just kind of go into detail more on our picks, and we'll name the other picks, and then I'll come back to you, and we'll mention, you know, a player each that was odd to us where he landed. Cool. At 202, or 201, I took David Njoku, tight end Miami. I love this guy, and from what I said, he's a body beautiful player. I mean, this guy is made to play football. He looks like he came out of the movie 300. He's a player who will destroy the combine. I have no doubts about that. Kind of Ebron-esque, but I think he will display more power than Ebron did. His natural ability is great. He should run a 4.5 at 245 plus. He's 6'5", and at 201, it could be early for people, but I had to get my guy He'll only be 21. He'll have room to grow. But for a tight end that will go in the first round of the NFL draft, they rarely miss. I mean, I know Chad Parson says that a lot, that, you know, tight ends that win in the first round in the NFL draft, they really miss. I love that. It's true. I know Ebron is an example where people are like, well, he missed. Not quite. I mean, Ebron still gives you a good floor and has the potential to get you a high ceiling. Now, I'll allow you to cut in if you have anything to say about players, sure. But if not, I will just run through. At 202, Kareem Hunt, running back from Toledo. I like this pick. He is rising on my board, and that was by Romeo. 203, we have Cooper Kupp, wide receiver, and that was picked by Jordan from the Jets at Dynasty. 204, Evan Ingram from Ole Miss. Michael took him. I thought that was a little early for me. 204, I mean, that's probably the player that is kind of eye-popping to me. But, I mean, if people compare him to Jordan Reed, so if you can get a Jordan Reed at 204, I mean, I don't think people would be frowning on that. 205, we have Malachi Dupuy to Chris. He is also on board on him. I like him. I took him in a Debbie dispersal draft. I love it. So, you know, five-star recruit. I feel like he's a Stephon Diggs type player. The situation in college was a little worse than it will be in the NFL, and I think he will shine.
Yeah, he's tools. Good.
Yeah, I like him. KD Cannon is a player I like ahead of Malachi Dupuy. And, God, he is also a guy that could run really fast.
He's so explosive. I mean, just watching him. I'm a Baylor fan, and so watching him play and the situation that he went through this year was just total garbage. And to be able to do what he did in spite of that, all these people are saying that he's worse than Corey Coleman. And I just don't know that we can say that. One, I mean, he's young. And two, like, the situation there was so bad. I mean, if you know anything, yeah. The coaches, all the coaching staff, I mean, it was dissension. And so I think he's way better than what his stuff shows this year.
I agree with you. And, you know, he's also a junior. He's going to be fast. He's a little slight for his frame. He's 6 foot, but I think he's really aggressive. He's I would actually compare him to Corey Coleman, but a poor man's Corey Coleman. I love Corey Coleman. I think that dude is going to tear it up this year. And KD Cannon, he's got that edge to him, like that, you know, if he has to jump up and get it, he's going to get it. And I love that about players. That's why, you know, of course, my love for Allen Robinson. And, I brought up Allen Robinson. I brought up Allen Robinson. Got sidetracked. But yeah, at 207, we have your pick. I will let you announce that.
Yeah, was looking around, and I could have taken a running back here, but it was Isaiah Ford. I just started watching some of his tape on Draft Breakdown and some of the stuff on YouTube, and I just loved the initial separation that he gets in his route running, and especially double moves. He just, over and over again, cornerbacks and safeties just breaks them down, and I loved that. And then watching the play, like, his quarterbacks underthrew the ball to him so much, and he was still able to adjust his body to the throw. Because, like, I was watching it, and at first I wasn't paying attention, and I was like, oh, man, like, he could have slowed down in the route, but when you watch it, it's clear that it was just an underthrown ball. He could have slowed down the route and been able to catch it better, but even though he didn't, he was able to adjust his body to defend it against the defender, and he has a really good, like, my ball mentality, and I love watching receivers just go up and make sure they get that ball. And so I think it's probably early, and I think Isaiah Ford will be available later, but I just liked him better than who was left.
Yeah, one of those make sure you get your guys type thing, and exactly. I completely agree. At 208, we have Jacob taking Jeremy McNichols, and, you know, of course, he knows running backs. D.D. Westbrook went to Tim. He writes, you know, the Biletnikoff winner, fourth in Heisman. You know, D.D., I think that's a little early for me, but, you know, Tim went for his guy.
He just wanted to make sure the names match, you know, Juju and D.D., and so he got his guys.
I agree. Now we have Zay Jones going 210. I thought that was an interesting pick. He's a high riser. If he goes early second round in the NFL draft, I could see him being higher than 210. At 211 is a player I like a lot, and that's Chris Godwin. He is an Allen Robinson Jr. type player. I think he's going to measure a little lower than Robinson. Not as quite, you know, he won't have that burst, that jumping ability, But I do think he is a good player coming out from Penn State. At 212 was an interesting guy who I still have no idea about, and that is Curtis Samuel, wide receiver, running back. Yeah, he's going to be interesting to see where he lands and what happens to him. And that was by John Bosch. What do you think about Curtis Samuel?
I mean, he just has to go to the perfect spot. You know, people talk about that with Christian McCaffrey. I think McCaffrey's proven what he does both sides, like with running and pass catching. But Curtis Samuel, I mean, he almost has to fall into that Ty Montgomery role. And it's got to be a coach that's willing to use him well and not some coach that's going to try to put him in a box and fit him to one scheme. They're going to have to design plays around what he's able to do. And so that's always a hard guy to draft. I mean, he's a guy that I'm looking at going, I'll let somebody else take him this year and then maybe trade for him in the offseason next year, because yeah, I think he's not going to meet the expectations.
Kind of like Tavon Austin. I mean, it'd be funny if it'd be funny if the Rams take him, because they took Farrell Cooper last year, who's almost the same player, but not as, you know, not as athletic.
Stockpile all these guys and then just waste their talent. Yeah.
Run that Georgia Tech offense or whatever it is. Okay, we're gonna go right into round three. At round three at 301, it's me and I select Corey Clement. I like Corey Clement. I think he is just a guy that loves to play football. And this is a guy that was a four-star recruit out of Wisconsin. Came in at 205. He's now 220 plus. Senior Bowl. Everything I heard, he showed well. He's a leader. And I do think he can catch. I mean, Melvin Gordon, people worried about him not catching. And I think it's just a Wisconsin thing. They're going to run the ball at you. And yeah, I think Corey Clement has a lot to offer. And in the third round, I will take shots at running backs, and I will take a shot at running back I think has potential to be a running back too in the NFL.
Yeah.
At 302, Jamal Williams, running back from BYU by Romeo. 303, Tywan Taylor, wide receiver, Western Kentucky, goes to Jordan. And he's another player that's kind of rising up the board. And like he mentioned here, I need to go back and watch it, but I've heard a lot about his Alabama tape and him tearing up Humphrey, I think, from Alabama, the corner. And apparently he made him look silly a couple times.
Yeah, a lot of times he did, and then he didn't even get the ball, so you didn't know that he did it. But if you go back and watch the tape, yeah, he's really good. And I'm honestly, like, I was hoping he'd fall to me in this round, but then he didn't, so Jordan took him.
Yeah, I think this is where we saw a lot of players that, you know, were their guys. They weren't kind of going by a board. They were going for their own guys. And at 304, Elijah McGuire, running back from Louisiana Lafayette, I think. Yep. Something like that. Yeah. And like he says, he's a Kenneth Dixon comp by scouts. And I've watched a little bit of tape. I wasn't impressed with the first couple of games I watched, but I need to watch a little more on him. But yeah, I mean, if he can, you know, come in the combine and do some work, I think his stock could rise as well.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of people talk about him, but yeah, I haven't done too a lot of looking at it yet.
At 305 is Elijah Hood, running back UNC, a big bulldozer that was taken by Chris. And he's a guy that might not come in athletically, but, I mean, could he be an Andre Williams type player where he gets a chance and actually takes the chance and does well with it, unlike Andre Williams? But we will see with him. At 306, we have Marlon Mack, running back, University of South Florida. I think.
Yep, that's right.
By AW. 307 is everybody's favorite wide receiver on Twitter, Carlos Henderson, wide receiver, Louisiana Tech. That was picked by you.
I love Carlos Henderson, man. I'm sitting here watching the board, and, you know, I hoped Taywan Taylor made it to me, and then Taiwan didn't. So right here, I'm looking going, I love James Conner, and I love Carlos Henderson. And I finally took Carlos Henderson, mostly because I'd been hearing more about him, and I knew that he wouldn't make it to my next pick. I figured James Conner wouldn't either. But yeah, man, he, again, is a smaller receiver. I don't think he's going to have the elite speed that John Ross has, but I love watching him play against defense because he was able to work the defense. And so he was able to be successful against press coverage. And then he high points the ball for a small receiver. I saw them throw like posts to the end zone, and he would high point the ball over a bigger defender. And I just loved watching that because most of the time that's where small receivers struggle. And he was able to kind of break that mold.
Yeah. And if you want to watch tape on him, it's everywhere on Twitter. I mean, you don't have to go far to see any Carlos Henderson. Every time I pull up Twitter, it's Carlos Henderson this. He's my third wide receiver that. I am not as high on him. I think he needs to land in a good spot to be relevant. It's landing spot, I feel, but who knows? I mean, he could do well in the combine and change my mind.
I think he's going to end up going too high for me to take him anyway.
I completely agree. I think middle of the second is a little high for me. I honestly think he could sneak into the first. Yeah, I mean, Leonte Carew did the same, and I think Carlos Henderson will be that guy that kind of goes into the first, and no thank you if he's that high. At 308, we have James Conner, running back Pitt, everybody's favorite success story. I'm rooting for him. Jacob took him. I hope he does well. I mean, they had video on Twitter of him running the three cone after chemo. Yeah, I mean, that's dedication. At 309, we have Wayne Gallman, and the joke in the chat was I was going to take Wayne Gallman 101 because everybody knows I'm not a fan. But at 309, I would take the risk. I think Wayne Gallman here at 309 isn't a bad pick.
You have to do it. You have to.
Yep.
It's way too far.
At 310, Anthony Wales, running back Western Kentucky. I actually have not watched tape on him. This was selected by Kelly. I don't know much about him, but he says, I must admit, I reach for Anthony Wales in this position. He was a touchdown monster in senior season for the Hilltoppers, racking up 29 scores. He may end up being a player that goes undrafted in most rookie drafts. However, he's a player that you should keep an eye on heading into this draft. I have no idea who he is. I haven't watched any tape on him. I really should. This next guy I've watched some tape on, and I do like what I see in burst and explosion. It is at 311, Rochelle Shell from West Virginia. This was by Mark. He was a five-star running back that had off-the-field issues. He went to Pitt, and he thought Pitt was a school that wasn't good enough for him. So he had off-the-field troubles, got humble, went to West Virginia, and did pretty well. I mean, have you watched any tape on Rochelle Shell?
I've not watched a single game or snap by him yet.
That's a player you should check out. I mean, he shows burst, and you can tell he needs a little work. But yeah, I mean, he's got the athleticism. At 312, we have John Bosch taking the first quarterback at Deshaun Watson. He really wanted to snipe me, but I think he knew if he would have tried to go with my guy, he would have gotten ridiculed because he didn't go with my actual number one quarterback. And that is Deshaun Watson. So good choice, John. Way to go on that one. Which will bring us to round four. Round four, we have Deshaun Kizer going to me. And, okay, I'm going to explain quarterbacks in the fourth round. I love drafting quarterbacks in the fourth round because if they hit for you, you just got value because everybody wants a young quarterback on their roster where they can just plug in week to week, not worry about it. And if you hit on a young quarterback like a Kizer or a Dak Prescott last year, I mean, I drafted him at 410 in a league and I traded him for an 18 first at the end of the year. Tremendous value. And it's just because people value young quarterbacks so highly. It doesn't matter if it's a two quarterback or one quarterback. You always have three people that really want that quarterback for the future. Jameis, you could get good value even if it's a one quarterback. But yeah, I just love taking quarterbacks in the first round. Kizer's my number two quarterback.
You mean the fourth round?
Yeah, fourth round. My bad. But Kizer is my number two quarterback. But I do think Kizer has the most upside. And he will be, of course, the quarterback I'm rooting for this whole year. At 402, we have Bucky Hodges, tight end of West Virginia or Virginia Tech. And I thought this was good value by Romeo. I think he would be like step for step with Austin Hooper last year.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be a solid, just a good tight end. He does well blocking and catching. And so just kind of a workhorse kind of guy. And in this round, when you're looking for just something to contribute, he may not contribute year one, but that's not really what you're thinking when you pick a tight end in round four.
Yeah, and at 403, we have Mitch Trubisky going, quarterback UNC. I like this pick, of course, fourth round quarterback. I don't know if I like the player. Every tape I've watched of him, he had happy feet when the pocket would collapse. I mean, Peyton Manning had happy feet, but he did very well keeping his mind straight and being able to get the ball out on time and accurate. Mitch Trubisky's accuracy when he got that happy feet, it was way off, and it worries me about him. And those 13 starts also worry me about his mentality. At 404, we have Artavis Scott, wide receiver Clemson, who is an interesting character. And he's a guy that showed in the Senior Bowl that he got a lot of snaps and a lot of chances. I don't think he impressed me that much. He is a smaller guy, and I don't know. Like, I trust in Katie Flower in her research, and she was down there at the Senior Bowl and said he'd walk back to the huddle. He didn't have that oomph to him. He didn't have that go get him attitude, and that worries me about players being out of the league in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I hate players that aren't that don't look like they love it. You know, it's one of those things. They just are there, and that's not going to cut it. It might work in college when you have athleticism advantage over some of the people you're playing against. But when you get to the NFL, you've got to want it, and you got to work hard. So,
yeah, and at 406, I like this pick a lot. I'm getting a little higher on this guy, and it's Pat Mahomes, quarterback out of Texas Tech. I think this guy has very high upside. He does need a little bit of work, but I just think if you mess with his delivery too much, you're going to ruin him. He's one of those guys like Philip Rivers or Matt Stafford that this is how he throws. This is how he throws. And like Aaron Rodgers, people say, oh, this guy throws, you know, with no feet on the ground. Well, Aaron Rodgers does the same thing, and nobody gives him a hard time for it. If you can throw the ball with accuracy and with power, and you have no feet on the ground when you're releasing, who cares? I mean, just let him throw the ball like he has his whole life. And yeah, I like Pat Mahomes' upside.
This is everybody's favorite mock draft to the Houston Texans. But I just don't see that happening because they have taken their shot after shot on project quarterbacks. And I think they might finally go get somebody else and not try to take a project. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he's able to make plays, even though he's not a traditional thrower, like the traditional throwing motion. And so hopefully he lands at a place where a coach is willing to work with him and not try to change him.
Yep. And I think he'd be a good player to go to the Los Angeles Chargers in the second round. I would love that. Learn under Philip Rivers, who also has a weird sidearm delivery, but has the accuracy. And nobody tried to mess with Rivers. Everybody knew Rivers' throwing motion was out of whack from the start, but nobody tried to change it, and he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. At your pick, I kind of like this, and I have a friend here that I work with that is probably one of the biggest fans of this guy, and I'll let you announce it.
Yeah, it's a Donnell Pumphrey. Man, San Diego State University running back. So honestly, like, I didn't really like follow this guy in college much, but I was at a friend's house and we were watching bowl games, and San Diego State came on and was watching him and just loved it. He was able to just come to that line of scrimmage, move around, disappear, and you thought, oh, he's going down. And the next thing you knew, 5-6 yards down the field, and he's just taking chunk after chunk, and then he makes those huge plays. And so then I started looking into him and watching him. And, man, all-time leading NCAA rusher, broke Marshall Faulk's record. I mean, that's all crazy. These things. But he's so small. He is so, so small.
5'8", 169. That is tiny.
He's got to put on weight. Like, you know, Darren Sproles outweighs him even though he's shorter. So, like, he's got to put on weight. And I think that's the thing. When if he comes into the combine and puts on even 15 pounds and is still able to kill it with his speed scores, man, I'm going to love it. If he doesn't put on much weight at all and comes in there at that light, it's going to be tough. I hope there's a team that will take a shot on him, and I hope that they can use him well.
Yeah, it's a player that this week will help him or hurt him a lot. I think he can weigh in at 175 to 180, and I think if he does that, it will help. I think if he runs a 4.4, that's possible. I do think he is going to bench more than people think because he does show tremendous power and will when he's running through the middle. I will give him that. But yeah, the size is very worrisome, and man, he did surprise me in the Senior Bowl, though. I was very shocked by him. I thought he was going to come in there and just get destroyed, but he didn't. I mean, he fought through the hole. He fought through runs. So yeah, he's got a lot of want. And when you break Marshall Faulk's rushing record, I mean, you're going to turn some heads and get some attention.
Yeah.
At 408, we have Brian Hill, running back from Wyoming, to Jacob. Once again, he knows running backs. I think he's taking a running back this whole draft.
Stick
with what you know. So, and yeah, he's just a big guy, and he could be another Andre Williams type guy that just needs a chance. Could be a goal line type guy, LeGarrette Blount type guy that won't catch the ball too much, but will get you touchdowns. At 409, Amara Darbo, wide receiver, Michigan. He is a guy that I cannot just get on board. Tim, I know, drafted him. Tim had some surprising picks here that I didn't think was a Tim way, but you know, best player available probably for Tim. You know, he went with Gallman in the third. And Darbo, I do think, is around that level of competition. I would probably go with a more high upside, low floor type guy, but Darbo might have a higher floor than people think. At 410, we have Devon Smith, running back, Michigan, by Kelly. He is another guy that had a good Senior Bowl, but will he do well in the combine? I don't think so. I don't think he's athletic, and I do think he'll be a sixth or seventh round guy just due to his Senior Bowl performance. So yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's rising a little bit, but not to the point where he is catching my attention. How about you?
I mean, not really. There are just other guys, even after the people in this draft, that I feel like have a little more excitement for me. And so, I understand why they took these guys. It's the fourth round of a rookie draft, so kind of nitpicking. But these guys just kind of feel like almost floor guys rather than ceiling guys.
Yep. Now, one of those low floors, high ceilings players is at 4'11", and that is Josh Malone, wide receiver, Tennessee. He is a 6'3", 195, Justin Hunter clone, I feel. Very athletic. Has a good chance to flash in the combine, and we will see that. And he was a five-star recruit, and he produced as a freshman and sophomore. And, I mean, Dobbs ran the ball a lot, so I feel like that affected him. So, yeah, he's an interesting player to watch over this week during the combine. At 412 with the last pick to John, he went Jordan Leggett, tight end, Clemson. This guy is mocked in the second round in a lot of NFL mocks, and I'm surprised he isn't getting more attention. I mean, with that grab he had against Alabama, you would think he would get a little more attention. But I think it's more the class than it is him. I think it's such a strong class that he's kind of put on the back burner for people. And what do you think about Jordan Leggett?
I love the pick here. This one kind of went against the high floor guy picks, because I think he's a ceiling pick. He's one of those guys, I think he's going to come in, and probably not year one, but year two or three, if he's given a shot somewhere, is either going to hit or he's not. And that's the kind of pick I like in the fourth round, because he can take up a roster spot for a year and you can kind of see, yeah, I want to keep him or I can drop him and not worry about it.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and give me a couple players where you were shocked that didn't go in this draft.
Ishmael Zamora. Again, I'm a Baylor fan, and he's been getting a lot of buzz lately.
He's a freak.
I know his off the field stuff, man. I get it. I watched the video. It's pretty, I mean, I love dogs, so it's pretty brutal. But at the same time, his combine, I think, is going to be out of this world. He's a young receiver, and I think same kind of thing that I think with KD Cannon, his production on the field doesn't match what he's capable of because of that situation. He just looked really, really explosive, and so we'll see what he tests. But, yeah, He's probably my most excited one that didn't go out here.
Yeah, he's also got his athletic profile is a lot like Julio, a big guy that can run really fast, out jump people. His athletic profile looks a lot like Julio, and maybe he looks like Julio in general, but yeah, he is a guy I am, you know, kind of keep my eye on for the draft. Do you got any other players that you're kind of keeping an eye on?
Off the top of my head, I don't. Just right off the top of my head, I don't.
All right, I got a couple, and my first one is Ryan Shazier. No, hold on. Did I say that right? Yeah. He is the wide receiver from North Carolina.
Switzer.
Oh, yeah. Why was I saying Shazier? Yeah, Switzer.
Yep, Switzer. Yep. I forgot he didn't even go. Yeah, no, I like him a lot better than several of the slot receivers that were taken at the end of this draft. Totally forgot about Ryan Switzer, but yeah. I like his production and his stuff. So yeah, go for it. Sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. You actually corrected me. Why was I thinking Shazier, a linebacker out of the Steelers? But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that is just a route runner. One of those guys where, you know, he's going to be in the slot. Hopefully, like I was a big fan of Daniel Braverman this past year, hoping that he hit. He was always a late fourth round pick for me. Kind of a flyer. He still might work. I mean, he flashed late this year for the Bears, but yeah, I think.
And who else are they going to throw the ball to, right?
Yeah, I think Switzer has a good chance of succeeding in the NFL. My last guy is Adam Shaheen from Ashland, a Division II. I've heard about him from ESPN. Watch a little tape on him. Man, this guy is a basketball recruit. He's a guy that has all the athletic profiles you want. He's 6'7", 277. He's a big man. His projected 40 time is 4.59.
What?
Yes. And in 2016 Division II, he had 57 receptions, 867 yards, and 16 touchdowns.
Gosh.
And the year before that, he had 70 receptions, 803 yards, and 10 touchdowns. I mean, I get it's Division II, but man, at 6'7", 277 and could run a 4.5. Yeah, sign me up for a flyer on him. he's a very athletic guy, so he's a guy to keep your eye on. I know I heard about him from ESPN and I started to watch tape on him, and he is a player I kind of instantly loved. And thank ESPN, you know, I know they're a big time company, and we all kind of give them a hard time for kind of sticking with the storylines. But yeah, I mean, they found a Division II guy that will probably surprise at the combine. All right, but that will actually end up finalizing this show. I know Tim couldn't join us. He had some computer troubles. So we will see him and Chris next week. Now, I do want to give you the floor again, and you can tell everybody where you can find your work. You can find this article we just talked about. And yeah, floor is yours.
Yeah, so you can find the stuff at www.dynastyhappyhour, and that's where all the articles will be, and then on Twitter at fantasypastor. Anytime you want to chat football or ask any questions, man, just send me a message, follow me, and that's it.
Yeah, it was great to have you on. I mean, we talked about having you on a little bit later, but with, you know, this article just coming up, it just felt perfect. Thank you for coming on, and we also like to thank our sponsors again, Sit or Start, My Fantasy League. We have a couple other sponsors coming on, and that's going to be a little surprise for you guys. But yeah, and like he said, check out www.dynastyhappyhour.com. Check out everything, rankings, articles. We have new shirts coming in that are going to be more affordable for you guys. I know we had older shirts and they're a little spendy, so we are getting shirts that are going to be affordable for all you guys. If you actually want, we could even start pre-ordering. Hit us up on Twitter at Dynasty or at DHH at Dynasty HH Pod. Hit us up and let us know if you want a shirt. Give us a size. We can actually pre-order them for you. We also have a donation page. We don't do Patreon anymore. We do just straight PayPal to make it easier for you. And if you guys donate $10 or more, and we will actually give you guys a chance for a drawing for a t-shirt. So if you do $10 or more, we will give you the chance in a drawing to win a t-shirt, you know, to support what we are doing, kind of keep the pod going and to get better information for you guys. You know, we need to start paying people like Clint. So that would be huge help. But no, and it's funny, the group of guys that we work with are so humble. They just don't care. They just want to get their voice heard. And that's what we do here at Dynasty Happy Hour. And if you want to help us even more, you can go on iTunes and leave us a rating and review. Go do this. You guys aren't doing this enough. And I'm very disappointed in the crew, the Dynasty Happy Hour crew, the following. Come on.
And don't base your rating on this one because, you know, I'm not on it every episode. And this is my first podcast. So, yeah, definitely listen some more and give us a rating and review. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah. And honestly, Clint did a great job. And we kind of got shocked with Tim having computer issues. So I think both of us were kind of put under the stress. So yeah, I think it's been a great episode. And next week we'll have more for you. We'll talk about the combine, everything that happened, all the ups and downs for players. So we finally have gotten to draft season, more of the combine. I mean, this is the bread and butter for Dynasty right here. This point forward, I know. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm excited. Do you got any last words to tell people?
No, thanks for having me on, and it was fun. So hopefully they'll keep listening, and and they won't get on Twitter and shame me too much.
No, I'm sure after listening, we'll probably have more followers, and after they read your articles, they will love you even more. But yeah, until next week, you guys, keep on keeping on.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter at DHHGunth, at ChrisWhitman11, at TimDynastyFF, and most importantly, at DynastyHHPod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at TheMorningKings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.